BYUSN Big 12 Football Media Days are here as we get closer to the start of the 2025 season. We've got a loaded show. We'll hear from head coach Kalani Sitake as he addresses BYU's quarterback situation heading into the year.
BYU's Chase Roberts and Will Farron were the only two BYU players who made the preseason All-Big 12 team. We'll hear from Chase on his expectations for his senior season. And Keanu Tanivasa and Isaiah Glasker discuss how not having any BYU defensive players named to the preseason All-Big 12 team is extra motivation for this year.
Give them reasons to be motivated some more. Look what happened last year. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Tuesday, July 8th. It is BYU Football Big 12 Media Days. Awesome. Cannot wait. I am Jerem Jordan. He is a man who asked if he could tailgate today. Jason Shepard.
Look, I'm all about the tailgate. I've got some barbecue outside if we want to go get some of that nice. During one of the breaks.
Nice.
Right now, we got a show to do.
We do have a show to do.
But the cool thing is, like, all offseason, we get to talk about the upcoming football season. This kind of feels like where it gets real.
Yeah.
You've got the Big 12 media football media days. All of the teams are there. You've got the commissioner speaking. This is where it becomes, okay, now I can really sense that it's coming up.
Now I can almost taste it.
Almost taste it like the barbecue, yes.
A little bit later. You can watch live press conferences and coverage on a couple of spots today. Of course, during the show today, the BYU TV app and BYUTV.org. We've got live press conference feed all day today, tomorrow as well. Eight teams today, including BYU, eight teams tomorrow. And, of course, Spencer Linton is live at the Ford Center in Frisco, Texas at the Star. Spencer joins us from Big 12 Football Media Day. Spence, set the scene for us. What's the feel like right now as Brett Yormark continues to field questions from the media?
Yeah, in fact, Jerem, he just wrapped up those questions from the media, and before that gave a very lengthy and not surprisingly organized presentation as to what the Big 12 Conference is doing collectively to move forward. He said, and these are his words, he wants to modernize this conference, have them be contemporary, and then added, speaking of the game in Ireland between Iowa State and Kansas State, I want this conference to be a global conference. I think the game in Ireland is an impetus for future international competition. I spoke with Brett Yormark to the side before he went on stage. We talked a little bit about his vision for the Big 12, and BYU is a big part of that. He knows the global brand that BYU carries and feels like the Cougars could be a big part of taking this competition all over the world. We'll see what that means, but he's an ambitious guy, and he thinks big for sure. It was interesting to watch him point out everything that the conference accomplished last year. I didn't think I'd be hearing about BYU's multiple cross-country championships at Big 12 Football Media Days, but he mentioned both of those and talked about how important that was in the Olympic sports venue and said we're doubling down on those Olympic sports and certainly in women's sports. He also mentioned Megan Hunter, specifically of BYU Track and Field, for winning the Bob Bowlesby Award. So some nice nods to the other sports from the commish during a predominantly football-centric conference here at the Star in Frisco. Talked about 31 players drafted into the NFL and said that it ties an all-time high for the conference. I know there are 16 teams now, but again, just saying we produced the Heisman Trophy winner, put Arizona State in a very competitive Peach Bowl as the 16th team out of a 16-team conference last year in that preseason poll to go all the way, saying nobody knows what's going to happen. There's parity. And then he finally said, before I give it back to you for some more thoughts from you guys in studio, that he believes the Big 12 Conference is the deepest college football conference in America, said the five automatic qualifiers plus 11 at-large bids is still the way to go for the college football playoff, and said while it might not be the best thing for the Big 12 Conference right now to not have two AQs, two auto bids, he believes that because the conference is getting stronger, it will clearly be the best model for the Big 12 moving forward to have those 11 at-large spots, and said, we need to earn it on the field. I believe we're positioning as a conference to do so, that we will have every year teams good enough to produce two, maybe more, at-large candidates and get into the college football playoffs. So he's seeing the big picture, and I made that very clear.
That was interesting, too, because I know you guys talked about it yesterday. They did not do a preseason poll of where teams are going to rank because that perception may have hurt them last year. May have, hey, Arizona State wasn't expected to be good, so why should we put them up here? It eliminates expectation. And regarding the international things, obviously BYU and the church, very international. I wouldn't be surprised if BYU plays an international game in the next 5 years. It'll be interesting to see. He mentioned baseball in Mexico City, women's basketball in Paris. Obviously, Iowa State, Kansas State, Farmageddon in Dublin to start the college football season will be a ton of fun. So I cannot wait. Yeah, lots of news coming out. Spencer, stay with us. We'll have you rejoin us in just a moment as we rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
If you don't fight to be first, guys, you're at the wrong spot now.
Roberts there.
Number 44 is through for three.
Where there's a will, there is a way.
Okay, when does football start?
In just a couple of weeks with fall camp and then football on August 30th against Portland State. The preseason All Big 12 teams came out recently. Two players named to the preseason All Big 12 team for BYU, Shep. One on offense, wide receiver Chase Roberts. One special teamer and kicker, Will Farron. By the way, live at the podium, Kalani Sitake will join us in just a moment. We'll take that feed live. We'll get to that in a moment. But in the in-between time, did the media get it right? Spence, we go to you first. We see Chase Roberts. We see Will Farron. Did they get it right?
And they're the two most understandable picks, certainly, for the All-Big 12 team based on notoriety that they bring back. And Chase is poised to have a breakout season. Will Farron, I think, is the best kicker in the Big 12. He's one of the best kickers in the country.
Yes.
So, yes, for those two. But I don't know. Is there somebody else that could have or should have been involved in that team? We're biased, okay? We get it. But I look at both linebackers, Jack Kelly and Isaiah Glasker, and think that either one of those guys could have been an all-Big 12 team guy. You pick one of them. They're both really good, but maybe because BYU does have such a collectively great group at linebacker and no clear star standout between those guys, maybe that hurts in a conversation like this. But I think those guys, they're not going to say it publicly, but I think they're a little bothered that their names didn't show up on that list. Altogether, though, I understand why Chase and Will are the clear all Big 12 performers. Would have loved to see one of those linebackers hop onto that list. And I know some of you are saying, what about Keanu Tonovasi? Listen, he didn't play a full season last year. He's a transfer. We know what he's capable of. He's an NFL draft prospect. He'll be an all Big 12 performer in the postseason when it matters most. But I understand why he's not on this list to begin with.
You know, Spencer, last week you and I, we assumed that it was going to be Chase Roberts and Will Farron, that those were the guys that it was almost a given that they were going to be on there. So in terms of Chase and Will, yes, they got that right. That was a no-brainer, and they absolutely earned those spots. But I'm with you, and quite frankly, I don't know where Jerem's going, but I'm going to assume we all agree.
I'm going to barbecue after. That's what you told me.
Well, the fact that at least one of those linebackers is not on this, I think that's where they didn't get it right, especially when you look at the production and what the defense did last year. And I understand that that's last year and not this year, but when you look at what the BYU defense did overall from a production standpoint and how crucial the linebackers were, for at least one of those guys to not be on there just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
I don't know that they care from the team perspective, though. And that made BYU a great team, is that they didn't have necessarily stars. But the stars of the defense were Isaiah Glasker and Jack Kelly. Jack Kelly does not produce enough tackles to merit being on this list to me. He is certainly a all-conference kind of guy, whether that's second team or honorable mention. And as you mentioned, this one doesn't matter that much. It's preseason. We get riled up July 8th, whatever. In December, that's the one you want to be on. Isaiah Glasker could have been on it. He stuffs the stat sheet. He's the closest thing we've seen to Fred Warner and Kyle Van Noy since then. Keanu Tonovasi, yeah, to your point, only played 7 games last year. Put up good numbers, but if he plays 12 regular season games, I anticipate he will be an all-Big 12 performer. Parker Kingston's the guy that really sticks out, although I think he's the second-best punt returner in the Big 12. That would be Josh Cameron. He led the nation in yards per return at almost 21 per return. He didn't have any touchdowns. Your boy Parker Kingston did with 2 against Kansas State and Colorado, notably. Big 12 foes. Fun with that. So that's interesting, which brings us to our next question. Biggest snub from the preseason All Big 12 team. What do you think, Spence?
Yeah, it's an interesting name in Parker Kingston, right? Because of his production. While, to your point, Jeremy, he didn't lead the country in average yards per return, and that's a crazy number that Parker's looking up at 21 yards. But he did score twice, and one of them sticks, you know, both of them, really. One of them is in the Alamo Bowl with, you know, arguably the most watched BYU football game ever.
Second
and then he
ever.
Does one
yep.
that no BYU fan will ever forget against Kansas State. I mean, that was the punt return heard around the college football world. So Parker has a case, but I'm okay with him being number two. I just listen, if this puts a chip on the guy's shoulder, let's go. Let's motivate those guys in unique ways, and I think that maybe that does that for some of these individuals.
Yeah, if I'm going to pick one player, I'm going to go back to the linebackers. I'm going to go with Isaiah Glasker. And I do I'll disagree with you a little bit, Jerem, that I think it does matter a little bit with what the team did overall as a defense, because when you look how good the defense was, who was probably the best player on that? Well, it was Isaiah Glasker.
If it mattered, why isn't he on it?
Well, I think it should matter.
You think it should matter. I don't think it matters to the media.
I believe it should matter when you look at what this defense did and then who was the catalyst for so much of it. I think that deserves being recognized on the preseason poll.
I actually love this because if you look at that BYU defense, zero draft picks this year. We'll see them in the future. And then zero preseason first-teamers. That tells you that they are a collective team. Now, in the postseason first team, we're going to see some guys. We will see guy or guys. Not too stressed about that and excited about it. As we prepare for Kalani Sitake now taking the main stage, the press conference, the head coach of the BYU Cougars will now address the media.
Thank you. Thank you, Russell. First of all, I want to thank Cosmo and our cheerleaders. Thank you for distracting everybody as I walked up. We're excited to be here in Frisco, Texas for Big 12 Media Days, and it's an honor for us to be here and for me to represent BYU as its head coach. Well, first I want to express our appreciation to the leadership of the Big 12, Commissioner Yormark and his staff, and everyone that put so much effort into making this an amazing day for our coaches and also for our players. I look forward to answering any questions you guys may have, but before I do that, I want to first also express my appreciation to all the partners, all the schools that are involved in the Big 12 Conference, especially the head coaches. It's amazing when you look at the talent in our teams and our programs, but I look at the head coaches and they're being able to get to know them, and I appreciate their friendship and their kindness to me. It's been really helpful for me being in this conference with them, and I look forward to competing with them on the field. It's an honor for us to compete on the field with them and their programs. And I also want to express our appreciation to our fans of BYU and specifically our student body and our alumni and also the faculty and staff that work at BYU. I also want to recognize our president, C. Shane Reese, and also Keith Warkink, our vice president. And also want to officially welcome our athletic director, Brian Santiago. Brian is in a new role as an athletic director. I've been around him for the last 10 years, and I've seen his leadership and his commitment. He was Tom Homo's right-hand man, and I'm glad and I'm excited to follow his leadership and to work with him, not only in our BYU football program, but also in the athletic department and at the university. Also want to let our players know how much I appreciate them, and we have five young men that are out here representing the team. The difficult part is that I think I could have chosen from about 30 leaders that I think would do a great job speaking here for our program in media days. But we have on our offensive side, we have LJ Martin and Chase, who's a running back, and our receiver, Chase Roberts. On the defensive side, we have linebackers Jack Kelly and Isaiah Glasker, and defensive tackle Keanu Tanuvasa. That being said, I want to open up the floor for you guys to ask me any questions and get this thing started. Thank you.
Center right.
Yeah, Tyler Budge, CF Budge. Coach, in the face of some off-the-field distractions this offseason, you said a little bit ago that every team develops its own identity. In the face of this uncertainty, what identity have you seen start to emerge with your group, or is that something that you don't fully see until the fall?
I think the identity is still a work in progress. I think you have to have a foundation that's set on some principles, and you have to have a mission that you want your program to follow through with. So we have all those in place, but I think there's room for flexibility for our team to find their own identity, and that's usually done with the leaders and the team itself. I would love for me to speak for them, but you have five young men that can do that, and I think as we go throughout the year, we'll start to establish their identity, not only on the field, but off the field. So I'm looking forward to the leadership and there's so much excitement and energy around our program, and that's a big part of what the players and how they conduct themselves.
Again, if you have a question, please raise your hand. Our microphone holders will go to you. We'll go here to center left.
Drake Toll, Locked On Big 12. Coach, losing a senior quarterback, how has the locker room reacted to that, and where is the QB battle set?
Yeah, I think first of all, there's competition in every position. So I think the one that gets the most attention is quarterback in every program. But everybody in our program, everybody has to be competitive, and you have to fight for your spot. And then you have to balance that with loving each other and mentoring and taking care of each other. So that's a fine line that I mentioned before. All the head coaches do a great job at doing that in their programs. I think for me, it's just allowing the guys to compete. In the quarterback room, if you're going to play at BYU, you have to be able to throw the ball. So we have guys that can sling the ball, and they all have different skill sets. The fortunate part for me is I have a coaching staff that was able to keep intact. And so there's always a knowledge of the offense for the guys that are there. And we have incoming talent that I think could be really special for us. So let's settle it on the field, let them compete. And then I only know one way, and I just play the best guys. That's how it works.
Okay, we have a question here in the center. Third row.
Jason Christensen, The Daily Universe. Good to see you, Coach. With the recent events this last few weeks, there's been a lot of attention to the honor code, and I wanted to hear your thoughts on what it means to you to be at a university that has an honor code and what role it plays for you as a coach and a mentor of these young men.
Yeah, our university is, we're sponsored and affiliated with the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, so there's a level of expectation, a standard that we ask our student athletes and our students all together to live by. Every school has their standards. We have ours too, our expectations. We have an academic expectation as well. So if young people don't fit the academic criteria, then they don't get in school. So these are just part of the things that you have to be committed to, and we expect our students to live according to what they signed up for.
Okay, we have a question here in the center left.
Skyler Dixon with the AP. Coach, just to be clear, you don't anticipate Jake being a part of the program going forward. Is that correct?
I think right now, first of all, I love Jake Retzloff. We love Jake Retzloff and appreciate all that he's done for our program. I think it would be inappropriate for me to make a statement in his situation first. I think that's his right. I think it's a private matter that he can speak for himself, and I'm going to give him the opportunity to do that.
Kalani J. Hatch, Locked On Podcast Network. Just wanted to ask you, in your opinion, looking ahead to this upcoming season, what's different about this team versus previous iterations of your football program?
We'll figure it out. We'll find out. My job as a head coach is to make sure that we're playing at our best. Did we do that last year? Not consistently enough for me. And so I've got a lot of things to work on and a lot of things that I've learned from quite a bit. I'm going into my 10th year as a head coach, and so I'd like to say that I'm kind of older now and hopefully wiser, but I do know one thing. If we're going to make any improvement, it's got to start with me first, and then I think everybody can figure out how to get that much better themselves. And so I'm going to focus on things that I can do, which is control the team and give them an opportunity and a culture and an environment where they can really thrive, whether if they're new and incoming player or if they're someone that's developed in our program throughout the years.
Okay, question, center left.
JP Wissersill, Locked On Utes, Kalani. How has BYU's recruiting really transformed a monster class this year, and what do you think the individuals you've brought in?
Well, I think the key has been just the invite to the Big 12 conference, first of all. When this thing all started, first of all, I got the job. We were an independent team. When I grew up cheering for BYU as a young kid, we were in the WAC. Then we went in the Mountain West and went to Independence. So the difference was the change. And first of all, the leadership that Tom Homo had with us as athletic director, he did an amazing job. He's retired now and probably got his toes in the sand right now. But his leadership was amazing. He was able to work with Brian Santiago and his staff and get this program ready to enter a power conference like the Big 12. And so when that opportunity came, when I first got the job, he asked me what we want to get done, and the goal was to play the best that we can, even with an independent schedule, try to get the most the toughest teams on our schedule, and we'll learn from the experience. And as we did that throughout the years, and following his leadership, I think it's prepared the entire program and other sports the opportunity to just kind of be prepping for the enter into the Big 12. So we got invited. That was kind of the change. We're now we're in the Power Conference, and thankful to the Big 12 for inviting us into the conference. But we saw things change, not just from resources, but also just it just kind of settled a lot of arguments for people not to come to BYU. So now going to our third year, we feel like we're in a good momentum, got some good things going. But all that had to happen with what Tom Homo did for us in the two decades that he was the AD.
All right, we have time for one final question. Third row.
Hi, Sam Foster, Daily Universe. Just going off that 2026 recruiting class, is one of the best in BYU history. Now that students they decommit a lot and they transfer a lot more than previous years, how do you make sure that these students that you're recruiting for 2026 stay with this program, and a lot of them are going to go on missions? How do you make sure that you keep them on board for years to come?
That's my job. I have to do a great job at creating an environment that they want to be a part of. And a lot of that is understanding them and creating an environment where they want to be focused on getting a degree. I think the transferring quite a bit is you lose credits, and we got to get the focus right back on the students getting and earning a degree. And so that's what we're going to focus on. I want to develop them in a lot of different ways. A lot of the young men that are coming back into our program through the transfer portal, we recruited the first time. So I'd like to get it right the first time. It seems like we're doing better now than we did before. So let's just try to do that and hang on to them. I'd rather do it that way and get it right. And that's on me. If I'm not able to retain them, then that's my fault. Appreciate all you guys. Thank you, sports media, for all you do for our game. College football is in a really good spot, and a lot of you guys have to do for that. Thank you.
Thank you, Kalani. Kalani Sitake at the main stage at Ford Center in Frisco, Texas, at the Star Home of the Dallas Cowboys. Some comments there from the media. What did you make of what he said?
I like the question about the identity and, you know, what is the identity? And, you know, he talked about it being a work in progress. He says there's time for this team to find its own identity. Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously there were a lot of questions about the quarterback position and the future of the quarterback position. And as he mentioned, look, I'm going to play the best guy and the one that gives us the best chance to win. And, you know, he talked about how excited he is for the guys that are in the room. And I think the part that really stood out to me about that, and it's something that we've talked about, is like the good thing is coaching staff is intact. And
a lot of continuity.
So you have a lot of continuity in the coaches that will be helping these guys that are going out for the quarterback for the team this year. So I think that's something to keep in mind. You know, I've mentioned multiple times that I love the fact that whoever is the quarterback this year, that they have the offensive weapons around them that they do. It's going to help and make whatever transition there is a lot easier to handle because of the talent around the quarterback. So, yeah, good comments from Kalani, and obviously gracious as always.
Yeah, he's always super gracious. Regarding the quarterback situation, he said, hey, there's competitions at all position. Obviously, McKay and Trayson and Bear. He did mention we have some incoming talent that we think could be pretty special. I think he's referring to Bear there. which is exciting. Regarding Jake Retzlaff, he thanked Jake and said he loves him, but that it's Jake's right to make a statement about his future. Obviously, there are reports that Jake will transfer. Jake has not entered the transfer portal as of yet, but the anticipation reportedly is that he will. What's different about this team? We'll figure it out. You don't know what you know until you play. We asked Robert and I, former offensive coordinator at BYU, how long does it take before you know what you've got with an offense? He said 6 games. It takes a minute. We can't say on July 8th we know what BYU is. We know what they return. We don't know how they look with the new meshed options out of the portal and freshmen and whatnot. We will see, which is exciting. What's different about this team? We'll figure it out. All improvement starts with him first. And then recruiting and how to retain. Regarding this 26th class that is coming together in an amazing way, a 4-star and a 3-star committing yesterday as well. The Big 12 invite helps.
Yes.
And how to retain. Good question by Sam Foster, who happens to be one of our students who work here as well. Works with the universe on campus. I have to create an environment that they want to be a part of. And certainly BYU has. And it hit me while Kalani was answering. It's not about BYU going 11-2 again, per se. It's that they showed what they can be last year.
Yeah.
And that was without a single draft pick in that immediate draft. Again, they will have draft picks the next couple of years from that talented team and these teams. But BYU showed what it can be. And there are multiple, very talented, many star guys who are jumping on board seemingly every day. This ship is out to sea, and I don't think it's coming back shore for a minute. Let's go.
All right, if you want more Big 12 Media Day coverage, you can find it on the BYU TV app with live press conferences from coaches and players from across the Big 12 Conference throughout the day.
Coming up after the break, Spencer's one-on-one conversation with preseason All-Big 12 receiver Chase Roberts about the change at quarterback and how he's building chemistry with all three. This is BYU Sports Nation.
I'm just so bullish on what this offense has in terms of weapons around the quarterback.
I do believe there's going to be a good run game. I trust LJ Martin a lot. I trust Chase Roberts. I have a belief in Aaron Roderick.
Shep does. Hans Olsen does. We all do. We're live in Studio B with your day-to-day Cougar Sports play-by-play on Big 12 Football Media Days, day one. We heard from Kalani Sitake. We now welcome in Spencer Linton live from the Star at Ford Center in Frisco, Texas again. What did you make of some of Kalani Sitake's comments at the podium, Spence?
Well, I think Kalani, and to his credit, he's using the right terminology and the verbiage to carefully navigate what he has been telling us over the last few months, which is in terms of recruiting and momentum at BYU, there aren't very many more excuses for people to use when it comes to avoiding BYU or not wanting to be part of this BYU growth. And so doing it at a conference setting, I think, is always tricky. But I thought he did a nice job addressing some of the questions. And it's undeniable when it comes to what BYU is doing in recruiting right now, putting together what we believe is going to be the best class in the modern era right now, according to 24/7 Sports. And then true to himself, Kalani always wants to be very gracious and thank each and every facet of the game that goes into, because this is a huge, huge contingent of people and entities that make this thing go at a place like BYU. So I got what I expected from Kalani, but was interested to hear him address some of those questions. And the big question mark here, obviously, is the quarterback situation and what BYU has behind. Kalani told me off to the side, you know, if they want to think that we're going to stink on offense, great. Like, let them think that we're going to be terrible. Let's let this quarterback battle play out. I believe that we're going to shock some people on that side of the ball, even though there has been a quarterback change.
That was the thought last year with the whole team. Now we're hearing it about the offense. That's very interesting. Perhaps the biggest recruiting job BYU did was getting Chase Roberts to come back for a fifth season. He's preseason All Big 12. And Spence, expectations are high for Chase Roberts.
Yeah, and it is a loaded topic because who's going to be throwing him the football? So we talked about that earlier today, on top of, again, doubling down on why he opted to come back to BYU and how that decision is paying dividends for Chase, even with the quarterback shuffle. Here is Chase Roberts live about, well, I shouldn't say live, but 30 minutes ago here from the star in Frisco, Texas, on all of those things and why he believes the offense is going to be just fine. Chase, let's start with the nod you got as an all-Big 12 team member. What does something like that in the preseason mean to you?
I think it's great. I think it helps with the draft process as well, just getting your name out there. Ultimately, it's media, social media, just opinions, and you need to go perform in the fall, right? You need to go win games, and that's what I'm all about, is helping the team win games. So off-season work and doing what we can to be ready for the fall.
You mentioned the draft process, and I know you've answered this question before, but for those that may have missed it, what was it about the prospect of another year of college football that made you ultimately decide to come back and put on the BYU uniform?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like you said, the draft thing, it's a big deal. If I can have another great year, you know, it helps. Also, just being in Provo another year, the opportunities that I've been able to have, doing a podcast, doing just other stuff, running camps, being around the youth of the like the church and all these things that I really wanted to do in the off season is what I've been able to accomplish, and it's been, you know, pretty cool, pretty miraculous, and just a lot of prayer went into it, and ultimately I felt this was the best decision for me, and it's been pretty cool to see you know, the opportunities that I've had. So
I know that you had an idea of what was going to happen at quarterback, and then it was flipped on its head.
Yeah.
With the pending transfer of Jake Retzloff. And so now there's a quarterback battle. So how has that challenged you and changed things for you in your position as a wide receiver?
Yeah, I'm just confident in our team. Like, there's no just one person that's going to win us games, right? And I know the quarterback and receiver relationship is huge, and I feel like I've got a great relationship with all the other guys as well. And we've been working, we've been getting the reps in, so I'm not tripping by any means, you know. Little slang for the new guys, and but it's a lot of confidence, you know, that we have in whoever steps in, whoever wins that battle. So I'm excited to see who does that.
Yeah, what specifically are you working on with those other quarterbacks, Trayson Bourget and McKay Hillstead, and now Barrett Bachmeier getting implemented in?
Yeah, just a lot of reps, a lot of timing, a lot of going through the plays, talking. We watch film a lot, and I think that'll pay off in the season. And whoever it is, I think if we just get the reps that we need to and work a lot during fall camp, then we'll be ready.
I know that chemistry is kind of this amoebous idea, like, how do you know when you have the proper chemistry with a guy like that? Like, how would you explain it to someone who's wondering, like, okay, I'm in a good place now with whoever the quarterback is. How long does it take to get there?
Yeah, I think, honestly, it's something that is built off the field as well. It's not just reps. That does help. But it's, okay, do I know this guy? Do I know his family? Do I know his girlfriend? Whatever it is. And what he's going through, am I there for him? And that comes into play. Like, when you're looking for a guy on the field, you know, who am I going to throw the ball to, you know? And you need to have that love for each other to be confident in getting the ball to him. So it's a lot of the off-the-field stuff as well.
How do you feel like you've improved yourself as an individual football player this offseason?
Yeah, I think focusing on the little things, you know, the fundamentals of the game, being able to take it to the next level in the film room, I think, has been the biggest thing. And understanding different pressures and fronts, what the quarterback sees is what I want to be able to understand and know as I'm out on the receiving position.
Chase Roberts with us on BYU Sports Nation. As you turn the page of 2025 and look to build off what was, in many ways, a remarkable 2024, what do you feel like was the missing ingredient last year, maybe, that if you find could help this year be even better?
Yeah, I think doubling down on our culture and our, you know, what we've been doing in the off season. I think that love that we have for each other, that camaraderie, comes into play when it's crunch time at the end of the games. We were able to pull through a lot last year, but we unfortunately, you know, came short in a couple as well. I think if we can come together more this year, more bonding activities, be able to have a great fall camp, I think those two games that we missed out on last year will be fixed, and we'll be able to take it into this next season.
BYU kind of hung their hat on being picked 13th last year. Like, that was a motivating factor. Like, oh, they don't know, but they're about to find out. That phrase was used again and again when you're picked that low. Well, that's not the case this year. Clearly, there's no preseason poll, but BYU went 11-2. So I believe that people think you're a good football team. So what is the motivating force or the chip on the shoulder thing that you can use this year?
Ooh, I think we're not a big chip on our shoulder type team. We're more do what we do. And I think we made a statement too in the Alamo Bowl. I think still people are out there, you know, they don't know, but they're about to find out. I think even in the Alamo Bowl, like, that's something that's in the past that we don't want to dwell on, but I think that's the kind of team that we have, that we're going to beat teams like that every game. And it's not just, you know, pull out these close games, but beat teams by 3-4 touchdowns every game. And that's the mentality that we have. So there is a little, I guess, motivation to do that, you know, and not just skim past these games, but to show people, you know, we're the real deal. You know, they don't know, but they're about to find out, you know.
What's your message to your specifically offensive teammates because of some natural uncertainty that is happening right now? How are you steadying that side of the ball?
Yeah, I think honestly, it's more, a lot of people think it's more of an issue than it is in the locker room. We're a next man up mentality. That's what we've had at all times. And the culture that we have, we know it's not just a single guy that's going to help us win games, but it's a team thing. And we saw that in the Alamo Bowl. You know, I got hurt in the first drive, you know what I mean? And that goes to show me, like, my team's great. Like, I don't need me, you know what I mean? And I can contribute, obviously, and be a leader and help our team win, but it's never about one person. It's about our team.
The BYU defense, I keep hearing, well, BYU's got time to ramp up on offense because they have a great defense. What do you see from the defense that makes you so confident that they're going to keep you in every game and give you a chance to win?
They're just tough. I mean, we got the guys that we need to, and we got the coaching staff that we need to go win games and to go confuse people. And I think it helps a lot, obviously, on offense, and we know our defense is going to make some stops. And we need to be that offense that provides the defense with that confidence that they can just go do their thing and not have to worry about teams running up on us when we're not scoring. So we're going to be that offense to keep them in that comfortable position.
All right, a few quick hitters as we finish out. I know you've already done a billion interviews. So what's the strangest question you've been asked thus far?
What is the strangest one? There's been a lot about, like, NIL and what other teams have offered you. Like, I guess someone said that they offered them land to go to their school, some random stuff like that. And I haven't had anything crazy like that, but there's been some funny questions about the money stuff. And but it's just the day and age now. You got to figure it out, you know.
How do you navigate that question? Were you offered a parcel of land?
Exactly, yeah. None of that stuff, but yeah, there's been some funny questions like that.
What's the key to getting through a day like today when it is just chaotic?
I think just have fun, get to know new people, go introduce yourself to the other players. You know, we're cool with them. You know, when we step in, like, in between the lines, maybe not, but right now, like, become friends, get to know them, and I think that's the key, yeah.
What are you most excited about for your final season at BYU?
Just being with the brothers again, going out in Lavelle Edwards Stadium. There's nothing like walking out into the stadium with all the fans. Like, it's just an emotional moment for me, and just having more of those is going to be special.
Okay, and last one. Which road venue are you most excited to play in this season? First one's at East Carolina, but you get to visit Ames and Lubbock, and Cincinnati. You're playing in Boulder. Like, which venue are you most excited to play in?
I think Texas Tech in Lubbock is going to be rocking. I think it's going to be loud. Great team, so that's the one I'm super excited for.
All right, Chase, we appreciate the time, man. Good luck with the strange questions that await you.
Appreciate it.
If you want to hear more from Chase Roberts, you can check out the 2-Point Conversion podcast with Chase and Connor Pay. You can find episodes anytime on demand on the BYU Radio app.
I assume they just came from or are going to a photo shoot. That's why they're in full pads in uni.
No,
looks good.
That's what they dressed up like when they got out of the hotel.
I wish Spencer would have been in full pads too. That would have been great. When we come back, what did Commissioner Brett Yormark say at Big 12 Media Days? Headlines are next. This is BYU Sports Nation as Cosmo getting that TikTok dance in with the Cowboy cheerleaders.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B and BYU Sports Nation. Jerem Jordan alongside Jason Shepherd. We'll have Spencer Linton with more interviews coming up in a bit. But first, today's headlines.
Big 12 football media days underway, obviously, from the Star in Frisco, Texas. The commissioner, Brett Yormark, spoke earlier today, talked a lot of different things. One, Big 12 remains open for business. We've heard him talk about that several times. Yormark also continued to endorse the 5+11 model as the right playoff format for the college football playoff. And coverage will be available through ESPNU and the BYU TV app throughout the day if you would like to continue to follow it.
Chase Roberts and Will Farron were named to the preseason All-Big 12 First Team. The Cougars ended last season with three players on the All-Big 12 First Team. Will Farron, Tyler Batty, and Caleb Etienne. Notably, no defensive players were listed.
Kalani Sitake was one of 26 coaches who were named to the Dodd Trophy preseason watch list yesterday. The award annually goes to the Coach of the Year in college football.
Suli Davis and Team USA at the U19 World Championships defeated Turkey A yesterday in four sets. Team moves on to the round of 16. They take on Germany today, 2:15 Eastern. And former volleyball player Ronnie Jones-Perry named to the USA Volleyball Nations League Week 3 roster as the United States plays Thailand tomorrow night, 8:30 Eastern.
And congratulations to Megan Hunter, who was announced as one of the two inaugural Big 12 2025 Bob Bowlesby Award winners as student athletes who represent the leadership and excellence. Travis Hunter of Colorado was the other winner.
The Hunters won. There you go.
Yes.
Next week, or coming up in the next segment, rather, Keanu Tanuvasa with Spencer on quieting the outside noise and getting to his goal of playing in the NFL. This is BYU Sports Nation. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation live on BYU TV and BYU Radio. Isaiah Glasker, one of the dynamic playmakers for the Cougars, expects to have an outstanding senior season. He is with Spencer Linton.
Isaiah, great to connect with you at Big 12 Media Days. As you begin what really is a circus of interviews, how do you mentally prepare for something like this, discussing the season with basically 100 different entities?
Honestly, you really don't. You know what I'm saying? You got to be prepared for really any question. So that's my mindset going into this. Never done this before, so it's the first time for everything. So
BYU's defense has understandably received a lot of notoriety because of the experience that you bring back, and you have Jay Hill as a defensive coordinator for a third season. Why do you feel like the defense is ready to take the next step, coming off a season that was in many ways remarkable?
Really just the leaders that we have. I feel like even getting Keanu Tanuvasa, he's been a big part in our defense already, and we haven't even started the season yet. So I don't know, these new additions that we have to our team, I'm excited to see what we can do.
The linebackers are well represented here between you and Jack Kelly. You add Ciale Asera in the middle. How specifically has the linebacking core improved and gotten better?
It's really, we could trust any linebacker in our room. It's like you could put anybody in at any time, and I highly trust anybody to make a play. So I don't know, us even having a little bit of experience, I feel like all of us have experience. Anybody can go in and make a play. So,
what's the offseason been like in terms of preparation, workouts, player-run practices? What's the schedule been like thus far?
Really just workouts. We have workouts in the morning, every morning, and then I don't know, we'll just have practices here and there, but for the most part it's just workouts, trying to get bigger, stronger, faster. So
where do you feel like you have improved in those categories?
I'd say I got a little bit faster. Yeah, for sure. So
what does that mean for opponents on the edge, Isaiah?
Shoot, hopefully we can see if we can get outside.
Jay Hill said he opened up the playbook last year, really expanded the defense, and he said he's adding even more wrinkles. I know you don't want to give away things, but what are you seeing from the expanded playbook and those wrinkles that he has referenced?
Well, really with Jay Hill, you got to be prepared for anything. It's like every week, I feel like we could get five new plays, and you just got to be ready. So, I don't know. I feel like it's a big thing having Jay Hill, just because he teaches us a lot, and we just rely on him to put us in the right position at the right time. So, I mean, I'm just excited to play. That's really what it is. But
what is it that Coach Hill does that gets guys to trust in him and play hard for him? What's the magic that is behind the scenes there?
really, you can just tell that he really cares. You know what I'm saying? We always do bonding exercise, everything. We'll go out as a team and eat and stuff. So it's really just that. And then the little things where he's just talking to us. I feel like he's almost just like a guardian for me, you know what I'm saying, realistically. But I don't know, just the team bonding activities and stuff. We all get close as a team, and he just emphasizes, like, unity as a team. Same with Kalani, too. So,
team is the operative word here, and I know that you care most about winning with your brothers as a team. But individually, what type of goals do you have for yourself this upcoming season?
Really probably the same as everybody else. Hopefully win a Big 12 championship and then get to that national championship. So,
What's the difference between the team being so close and getting to that next step? Like, what does it take to ascend to that next level?
Really just, like I said, probably the bonding. You know what I'm saying? If as close as we are, is like you've seen our team last year, we were super close, and I feel like this year it could be a big difference just because we're even closer. You know what I'm saying? So I'm excited to see what our team could really do.
Last year, so much attention was given to the fact that BYU was picked to finish 13th out of 16 teams. They just straight up got rid of the preseason poll. Like, there's no Big 12 preseason poll anymore. So how do you motivate yourselves because you don't have that edge of, well, nobody believes in us?
Well, it's like I feel like they've never really believed in us, and it's like we just always have to show them, you know what I'm saying? So that's what we're going to do this year. We'll show them again that we can really play, so.
What sets BYU apart in the Big 12? Why is this a unique football team compared to the other 15 schools?
I would feel like just our emphasis, like, on family. You know what I'm saying? We're a big family-oriented program, and I feel like that's what's going to take us to the next level, really. So,
I know that nobody prepares to have a situation where your quarterback room is kind of flipped upside down. I know you play on the defensive side of things, but how has the team responded to that unexpected change of having a quarterback shift?
Really just next man up. That's just really what it is. And I can't say too much about Jake. I love Jake, and he's a great teammate and everything. But on his behalf, you know what I'm saying, I'm not going to say too much about him. But I feel like we're gonna respond. We'll just be ready for the season. So,
you play against the other three quarterbacks. So from your perspective, when you're trying to hunt them down in practice, tell me what you're seeing, starting with Treyson Bourget. What do you see from him at quarterback?
He throws a good ball, for sure. So it's gonna be a rough one in fall camp because you always got to be prepared for him.
Okay. And McKay Hillstead, what's your initial impression of him as you defend against him?
He's more of like a dicey, like Lamar Jackson, but I would say he's kind of like that. Like, it's really any time he could pull it and run. You know what I'm saying? He's fast, shifty, so... Yeah, I'm excited to see what he can do, too. So we have a few guys that are going to be solid. I'm not really worried about our quarterback situation.
I know the team hasn't seen much of a guy like Bear Bachmeyer, but he's also in the mix. What do you know about Bear?
Not too much. I haven't really seen him play yet, but I'm just excited to see him throw a ball. So we'll see how he does in fall camp.
What can BYU fans expect from the BYU defense in the 2025 season?
Hopefully just the best defense in the Big 12. That's our goal every year, and just lots of turnovers and touchdowns.
Can we expect more Deion Sanders shuffles from Isaiah Glasker?
Might have to mix it up. Get my playbook, yeah.
Isaiah, we appreciate the time. Thanks for being with us at Big 12 Media Days.
Yeah, no problem.
September 27th, we absolutely could in Boulder. After the break, who gets today's Rise and shout out and elite voice of the day? This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
One final time to Frisco, Texas with Spencer at Big 12 Football Media Day. Spence, what are you hearing and seeing that you like?
You know what? Our good friend Brock Osweiler of ESPN, who's called a bunch of BYU games, just told me, In a roundabout way, I don't know why BYU fans are freaking out about having a new quarterback. He then pointed out less than 60% completion percentage from Jake, 12 interceptions. He's like, too many. He told me if BYU can just find a guy who can manage the game, take care of the ball, he thinks that BYU will be a better football team than they were in 2024. He doesn't have a dog in the fight. He also did say, maybe it's just because I'm a super optimistic person, but he expects BYU to be right back where they were.
That's very interesting.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with optimism.
Wow. Okay. Continue your great coverage there. We will continue to watch it on our YouTube channel and the BYU TV app. And we'll talk to you tomorrow, Spence.
Thanks, Spence.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
Gary Lee, Voice of the Day, is presented by PACS Healthcare Elevated. Regarding who is BYU football's biggest snub from the preseason all-conference team, at BYU Cook 24_7 on X. Kelly Glasgow or Tanu Vasa. Today's Ride of Shadow, presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU athletics.
The BYU football recruiting train continues to chug along, getting commitments from a four-star and a three-star yesterday.
Thanks to all our guests. For Jason, I'm Jerem. Shout out to Trevor Pay. Continue to catch coverage on the BYU TV app and the YouTube channel. We'll see you tomorrow. Go Cougs.